you and your wife chose to adopt a child from another country because, in your words, you didn't think you could take the emotional beating that domestic adoption seemed to promise. Explain that just a little further, if you would.
Certainly. When we decided to adopt, we were not able to have children biologically, so we decided to adopt. And then we began to kind of survey the world, what might be available and what would be the best fit for us. We considered domestic adoption, but we'd also had friends who, in adopting domestically, had they had been through the ringer. You know, it's uncertain, and sometimes the birth mother will decide that she wants the child back. It just sounded emotionally draining, and having been through infertility, we were not looking to embark on another emotionally draining experience. I know it's not true for everyone. I know people who have adopted domestically, and they've been very happy, and their families are wonderful. But for us, we knew that the process in China, however long and exacting it would be, at the end of that, we would have our daughter.
You said to Christine and me, China promised stability and certainty.
That's true. China, the adoption process in China is regulated by the government, and the rules are written out, they're posted, they're the same for everyone. It's a very regimented process. It's long, it's tedious, but it moves forward. It's a long line, but eventually you get to the front.
Hmm. We're speaking with Jeff Gamage about his book, China Ghosts. So it is in China that the decision is made, I should say, the specific choice of the little girl who will be your daughter, and she is chosen for you, and you are chosen for her. That choice is completely out of your hands. How did that aspect of this feel to you?
That aspect of the process was particularly appealing to me. I did not want to be in a situation where I was faced with several children, all in need, all deserving of parents, and being asked to pick. And I felt that in China, they essentially match you with a child, and they take that very seriously. You send a voluminous amount of information to the China Center of Adoption Affairs, and they study it. They have your photographs. They have they no longer insist on your tax records, but in previous years, you did forward your tax records. You forwarded information about where you live and the size of your house and the kind of car you drive. It's a complete dossier. And they attempt to match you based on that with one of the children in their care. And we felt that Chin Yu was a perfect match for us. Many people commented on the fact that I'm not Chinese, I'm Caucasian, but if you put Chin Yu's toddler picture and a picture of me side by side, there's a plain resemblance between us in the cheeks and the forehead and the nose. It was a little eerie to see her picture because we felt like we had been matched not only in temperament, but in looks.
We just got done hearing you say a moment ago that you chose China versus other nations like Romania or Vietnam or Cambodia or so on, at least at that moment in time, because many of those countries, the adoption process was really fraught with all kinds of turbulence or uncertainty. China promised stability and certainty. And yet, by the time you are into the thick of the experience and writing about it, you say the process of adopting a child from China requires you to accept a vast amount of uncertainty. And I suppose in many cases and in many countries that is true. And that seems to be something you didn't maybe fully grasp going into this. Just all that you would be uncertain about, particularly in terms of your daughter and the earliest days of her life.
Yes, there's uncertainty in a couple of different ways. We knew that by going through Chinese adoption, we would have a daughter at the end of this process. But we had no idea until we received our formal notification who she was, where she was living, how old she was, any of those sorts of details. She could have been anywhere in China. As it turned out, Jinyu was living in the, it's called the Xiangtan Social Welfare Institute. It's an orphanage in Xiangtan, China, which is just south of Changsha, the province capital of Hunan, Hunan being one of the poorest provinces in China, which is why there's so much child abandonment there. The other thing that we did not really count on or weren't aware of in terms of the uncertainty was, I call the book China Ghost, and that's because I felt that so many ghosts had come home with us from China. You go there for one child, and you come home with so many others. The children that Jinyu lived with at the orphanage, her biological parents, her biological extended family, aunts, uncles, cousins, the chance that she has a biological brother or sister now living in China. And all these are people who we did not count on their presence or that they would in any way be part of our life when we went to China. But now they live with us. There's not a day that passes. I don't think about Jinyu's birth parents and wonder how they're doing and hope that they have found some kind of peace or healing.
Hmm. One paragraph in this portion of the book I want to read. You're kind of listing off all the things that they don't say in the brochure, speaking to some of this emotional experience and burden that is a part of it. You write, they don't tell you that the children of the orphanage are all coming home with you, that these kids with their wan smiles and growing stomachs are going to follow you across the ocean, move into your house, inhabit your dreams. They don't tell you that from now on you'll never push back your chair from the dinner table without thinking of small children, just like your daughter, whose ribs are tight against the skin, that now when you saunter through Toys R Us, your child happily choosing a prize from among rows of pink-boxed Barbie dolls, you'll recall that during a morning-long visit to the orphanage, you did not see a single toy. They don't tell you that even the celebration of your daughter's birthday will be tinged with sadness, that as you watch your child lean forward to blow out the candles on her cake, you'll think of a nameless woman across the ocean and know that, for her, this is a day of grief.